Next on BYUSN, does the most pivotal game in the BYU football season happen this Friday? We'll discuss what the result will mean for the Cougs, win or lose. BYU defenseman Isaiah Banya will discuss the good from the BYU defense in Game 1 and where they absolutely need to be better to beat SMU.
We'll preview Friday night's matchup with the voice of the Mustangs, Rich Phillips. And we'll get to know SMU in this week's version of our favorite segment, Know the Foe.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, September 4th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a huge fan of the BYU truck tracker, Jerem Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Hal and the gang are on the road. I know they went through Albuquerque. They posted online. Josh Hewitt did, the BYU equipment manager, who's about to move seven houses away from me in a couple of months. Hal in Philly, who got famous during the week of Coastal Carolina in 2020. Man. On their way, driving that truck with all the equipment. You don't think about it, but like they practice and have the other equipment, the practice equipment, and are getting ready. Then they fly and just mind their own business. No, there's a lot of people involved to get everything all the way down to Dallas and ready for this game. And so it's no Dublin, Ireland, but it is a long drive.
What do you think the chances are they stopped and said hi to Bronco Mendenhall and his staff in Albuquerque?
0%. Especially after last week. They're busy figuring out how to not give up 60-plus points.
Also, you wonder what time that was. Hey, we're driving through Albuquerque at 5 a.m., Coach. Want to grab some breakfast?
Bronco's out there feeding his horses.
He probably is. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
On the road tends to shake people a little bit. I think BYU has a really strong chance with what they're able to carry into this game. The confidence they have of going in there and pulling an upset. They realize they got to go there and take care of business. This, for me, is a huge game for BYU to go in there and, quote unquote, steal this game.
2 days away from game number 2 for BYU football. Yesterday, we featured former BYU and NFL linebacker and a good friend of ours, David Nixon, on the program to preview BYU at SMU, and he discussed just how important he feels this specific game is for the course of BYU's entire season.
This, for me, is the biggest game of the year for BYU. Not because it's the second game, but I scheduled this one because I think that this one is your swing game. If BYU wins this one, they have a lot of momentum going into the rest of the season. I think they go up to Wyoming, take care of business, and then they start conference play. If they lose this one, then that doubt starts to creep back in their mind.
Okay, swing game. Pivotal game, critical game, you choose the word, Jerem.
Biggest game of the year.
David thinks it's very, very important, so yeah. You've heard what he thinks. Do you agree with his opinion?
It's interesting, because I could see the argument for it. What he's saying is, hey, if you win this game, then it sort of changes the trajectory of your season, perhaps. I would argue that Arkansas was in a similar spot as this game last year. It's a Power 4, at the time Power 5, game on the road that if you win, you feel like you've got a shot to do something interesting. Well, BYU won that game last year and still didn't. But we feel like this team is different in that they returned a lot of guys. They know the playbook better. They know what they're supposed to be doing. They are improved on the offensive line. They're more experienced and better on the defensive line. They've added depth in certain positions. So I think that is pretty interesting. Can I say that it's the biggest game on the schedule? No. Is it a swing game in this? Perhaps, yeah. I think absolutely. Like, if you don't win this, it's hard to imagine BYU getting to a 7-8-ish win season, but they still could. They can make it up. It's just SMU is a good team, right? They're receiving votes. They're good. BYU has a lot of quality on this schedule, though, Spence. It's a tough schedule. You have five ranked teams sitting there as of now that you still have to play. Luckily, four at home, 1 in 2 weeks in Kansas State in the 96 throwbacks, which would be fun. So, yeah, I think so. It's tough because when you look at the FPI win percentage here, Spence, BYU is only a favorite of 40. What I mean is BYU is 40% or better win chance in only two games.
Is that good?
Two games left. Wyoming and Houston, that's it. The rest of them, it's like BYU's got like a fourth or a third of a chance to win in many of them. So are you supposed to win at SMU? Not according to Vegas or FPI, but it could swing the other way where if you do, now you're feeling like, okay, maybe we can do something that we didn't think. Maybe six wins is going to happen. But again, there's some scar tissue from last year of BYU was 5-2 and did not. So I don't know. I think if you win it, we're certainly feeling good. Of course we would.
I want BYU to beat SMU for a myriad of reasons. Somewhere in that list and down the
Preach.
List is I just want to see what it'll do to the FPI numbers. If BYU wins at SMU, like how dramatically will that shift all of those win percentages that you discussed?
I wonder how high it would shift them because while yes, BYU would be a better team than perceived, there's still a lot of good teams on that schedule, man. Like welcome to Power Four football.
I want to see the power of math at work if BYU beats SMU.
The power of math. You're playing with the big boys now.
David's argument is interesting here because he's focusing primarily on the momentum that a game like this can give to a team. Mm-hmm. And there is a real case that that could be in play.
Yeah.
Start a wave, they say. All it takes is one little drop, and then it builds and builds and builds and builds. Is this that moment where BYU makes a splash and then this starts this huge positive wave of momentum, and now you go and crush Wyoming, which is what David was also alluding to yesterday.
That better happen.
Then you're going to go 3-0 in non-conference. That becomes a real possibility if BYU can upset SMU, win on Friday night. Then is it not fair to say at that point, okay, they're probably going to be unbeaten through non-conference play? Because BYU,
if you win at SMU, yes,
you are going to win Wyoming. Who looked awful against Arizona State.
They were terrible. Sub 200 yards total offense. They were bad.
So I'm confident in saying I feel at worst BYU will be 2-1 in non-conference. But again, this momentum argument, it's real. And it's different. People say, well, how is it different than last year, Spencer? Because BYU was 3-0 last year. We were not sitting here and thinking, oh, man, BYU's got this great momentum. They look great. They didn't look great.
They looked
opportunistic.
They were getting turnovers.
And lucky.
And not running the ball. So it depends how BYU wins. Again, you beat Southern Illinois. You looked way better in that FCS game than you did last year. That gives us hope that BYU's going to have some semblance of normalcy on offense that we saw prior to last year. Last year was exceptional in that they weren't good at running the ball. And then you have third and long and you're not good on third down and you're not scoring a ton of points. And it feels different after SIU. It feels different. We hope that that continues. And let's see if BYU can't get a P4 non-conference win. And then you move on from there to Wyoming. And now you're in the Big 12 play.
Sure.
And if you're 3-0, can BYU, because last year it was all about winning the turnover margin. BYU won the turnover margin, they won, they lost it, they lost. It was very distinct. And it's 6-0 and 0-7 since the beginning of last year in that category.
Crazy.
So is that a key to victory this week? I think it is for every football team. Is BYU's offense good enough to overcome
That's
minus
the thing.
One?
If your offense is not good, then yes, you have to win the turnover battle.
Is BYU's offense good enough to overcome?
We hope.
I don't want to see it. I just want to win the margin and win the game.
Win both. Have a good offense.
Win
and
both.
Be at least even in or win the turnover
But
margin.
If you're not, can you overcome? The BYU offense needs to continue to produce, obviously.
I'm not ready to say, like David is, that if BYU beats SMU, now they could be an 8-win team.
Too early still.
And if they lose to SMU, because he was saying, well, if they lose again, then maybe Vegas is right and they are like a 4 or 5-win team. I'm not ready to go there.
Still too early.
But if BYU beats SMU, I am confident in saying this is a bowl team. They will win a bowl game. They're good enough to win in Dallas against a good SMU team. I feel confident they'll go to Laramie and win and be 3-0. And this team is different than last year. They'll find a way to win at least 3 conference games and take advantage of home field. So I do feel like if we're talking about a pivot or a hinge point, yes, I'm ready to say, okay, bowl game is happening if BYU beats SMU.
I need to see how I would like a win, no doubt. I would still like to see how, because last year BYU was 5-2, and it was still too early to call it. We didn't know it. It was still too early because BYU couldn't run the ball very well. If BYU runs the ball well and plays a good brand of football and is effective in certain areas, frankly, even if they lose a close one, that would actually give me more hope than you can't run the ball, but somehow you pull off a win because you were +3 in margin, like projecting to the end of the year. I want to see how BYU plays in this game to give me a sense of what the future could be. Because last year, BYU was, like we just said, winning, but it was because of turnovers.
They were winning in unique ways.
Yes, you weren't running the ball for jack squat, yet you were winning. So let's see what BYU does against SMU, and not only the result, but the how, And then we'll have to continue to look at Wyoming and Kansas State and Baylor and so on and so forth.
Well, I can tell you this much. If BYU loses on Friday night, they will have to win in Laramie and then have to win four games in conference to get to bowl eligibility.
4-5 to me is the goal in league this year.
Then you're doubling your win total in Big 12 play from last year.
Which, when is that a bad thing? That's always a good thing.
It's not, yeah. But isn't that crazy to think that if they don't win in Dallas, now, I mean, you're going to take care of business, we hope, in Laramie, but then you have to win at least four games to get to six.
Yeah. Okay, so a win for you and I means that our kind of projection of seven is on track.
Very much in play.
It's very on track. Would a loss to SMU, would that make you feel like, oh, shoot, BYU's going to hover around six then?
To your point, it depends on how BYU plays and what that loss, heaven forbid, would look like for the Cougars.
Yeah.
If it's dramatic and it's close and it's a last-second field goal, whatever. Then I'm still optimistic that BYU is going to find a way to string together four more wins in that schedule. Some of the teams that are ranked right now, at least one of those, if not two, are not going to be top 25 caliber, I believe, by the time BYU gets them or by the time we get to the end of the season.
I think that's fair. I also think that one or two might be ranked.
Sure.
UCF sticks out. Like, maybe, does UCF get ranked when BYU plays them?
Maybe an Iowa State team is one of those teams that gets ranked, but they're not on BYU's schedule. Something, right? Just we'll see how it all evolves, but my intrigue grows by the day with this team because you just don't know what they really are, and frankly, we don't know what the heck SMU is right now.
Yeah. I'm not sure they know. They know that they came back against Nevada and played an FCS team. That's what they know.
We'll ask the voice of the Mustangs, Rich Phillips, that very question. Yep. What does he feel like he knows about the team? What's the biggest question mark?
Okay, let's get to a couple quick hitters. After 1 week of games, has your opinion changed on which ranked Big 12 team BYU has the best chance to upset?
No, I still believe it's Arizona because BYU will have 2 weeks of preparation. They have a bye week before they host Arizona on October 12th.
What about Teterone McMillan? Is he going for 300 against Brick?
Give Jay Hill 2 weeks to cook up the defense and scout Arizona very intently and come up with a fantastic game plan. Arizona's defense is not good. They'll give up points to BYU. It's just a matter of can BYU slow their offense enough? And with 2 weeks of preparation, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that idea that BYU will be ready for them to open up October.
I like Oklahoma State as another option. Revenge game, you played them super tough. You were up 18 at halftime. You go to OT, you lose in OT. You're right there on the road with an Oklahoma State team that goes to the Big 12 title game last year. That was a 5-7 BYU team.
I mean, every Oklahoma Sooners fan on the BYU bandwagon that week because they were going to play in the Big 12 championship if BYU beat Oklahoma State.
Yes, they were like Max Hall in the 09 Oklahoma game saying, we're going to win this game. I like Oklahoma State as an option as one of those in terms of the quality top 25 current ranked teams. I like the Arizona pick a lot, too. I think Oklahoma State, there might be some, we owe you one after last year. We blew it.
The revenge tour. And what in the world is Kansas by the time they roll in mid-November?
We'll see, man. Jeff Grimes back in the house.
Yeah, will Jalen Daniels still be the quarterback? What will that team look like in mid-November coming to cold, maybe snowy Provo?
November 16th, very well.
We shall
see.
Don't
summon that reality.
Taysom Hill, as we turn our attention to the NFL now, is listed as the New Orleans Saints' starting tight end in their depth chart today.
How about that?
With former Cougar tight end Dallin Holker as his backup.
Does he still have the long locks?
I believe he does.
Flowing? Yeah.
Holker was great at Colorado State.
Oh, he was good.
To his credit, he was awesome. And he took advantage of a matchup with Deion Sanders in Colorado in primetime last year.
Oh, yeah, the big elbow braze catching a bunch of balls.
It was incredible.
It was great.
More on that maybe later. But focus our attention on Taysom Hill as tight end number one. What's your reaction to him being listed as number one on the depth chart?
I really want the Pro Football Hall of Fame voters at some point just to get him in because he's so unique. Like, what guy has started at quarterback and then also been a starter at tight end on a team in the NFL? And this is the NFL. This isn't like the Mountain West or something where you could move around. Or a couple years ago, I called Marco Gonzalez's games BYU baseball against Gonzaga. Your ace left-handed pitcher, and when he's not pitching, your first baseman. You know, like the versatility there is incredible. Congrats to Taysom because he's too good of a football player to not be on the field and literally has moved positions several times And you can have whatever package you want. Jamal Williams, by the way, RB2 behind Alvin Kamara. So it's going to be fun to watch that 1-2 punch. You could literally have another Taysom Hill or Jamal Williams run where Taysom is blocking and Jamal scores and those guys embrace in the end zone. And we rejoice because we see those homies from 2012 to 2016 hung out here. So super special and awesome for Taysom Hill. Congrats, man.
With Taysom, nothing surprises me these days. And we've shared this stat a few times, but he is the first football player since Frank Gifford to run for 10 touchdowns, catch 10 touchdowns, and throw for 10 touchdowns.
By the way, he kicked PATs and field goals in high school. That's what they need. They need him to do one PAT.
He needs to kick
one PAT in the NFL, and then it's like, he literally can do everything.
Yeah, he's converted a two-point conversion at some point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that would be something to have him roll out and kick.
Have him punt once.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah,
I want him to be in the NFL's top 100 players list just because of how unique he is. There's nobody like him.
Literally nobody.
He is truly one of a kind, the Swiss Army knife, Taysom Hill. Our question of the day, back to our conversation with BYU at SMU on Friday night. How will the result of that game against the Mustangs change your expectations for BYU this season? Are you buying in on David Nixon's logic that this is the pivot game? Mm. This is the momentum game. BYU wins this, great things are ahead. At Blue Goggles on X.
Nice. Mm. Nice.
I wonder what they're going to say. It'll silence some of the noise. Winning a road P4 game would make me believe that this team is capable of at least 8 wins.
Could be.
I am super gluing my blue goggles on, baby.
Nice.
BYU will beat SMU, or I will drink a cup of pickle juice. Book it.
Everyone on the bandwagon after the FSU fans said they would consume a certain something from a dog in a red Solo cup.
Yeah, just don't make those things and those guarantees extreme.
That'd be weird if someone came on here and said, well, if this team wins, then I'll do this or loses. Yeah, that'd be weird.
Shave your head if BYU goes to the college football playoff, Jerem?
That would be
speaking into existence.
That would be a good one. That would be a good one. I don't want to do that, but that would be really fun. I'll shave somebody's head. I'll shave Greg Rubel's head if BYU makes a college football play. If you missed last night's episode of After Further Review or BYU Football with Kalani Sitake featuring Greg Rubel, you can watch them anytime on demand on BYUSN.com or the free BYU TV app.
After the break, I go one-on-one with BYU defensive end Isaiah Banya. What a nice game against Southern Illinois. What he believes the team did well in game one and where they should and need to improve if they have any hope of beating SMU. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Attention BYU students, parents, and faculty.
The quarterback, incredible.
And a slap sack by Isaiah Banya.
Basically, I love the way he performed. I love the way he stuffed the run.
Isaiah just swinging the mitts out.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan. You just saw his highlights. Isaiah Banya.
I don't have any.
A nice start against Southern Illinois. Yeah, what would your highlight reel look like?
Just me talking on a headset, like boring.
Isaiah is healthy, and you can tell he looks way better, says he feels way better. That's part of my conversation with him. Also, how he and the Cougars handle being a 10.5-point underdog against SMU. This is Isaiah Banya on BYU Sports Nation.
Isaiah, one game officially down and a great game for you.
Thanks.
A sack, tackle for loss, and a half, I should say. We got to get all the numbers right. 1.5 tackles for loss. But as you look back after watching film, how would you rate your performance and the defense's performance against Southern Illinois?
I thought we did really well. Truthfully, I think it was a good way to come out, show, you know, how hard we've been working over the offseason and everything like that. And so, you know, I feel like at this point, we just can build off of it. You know what I'm saying? We had a good foundation, and we showed that. And now, like I said, keep the ball rolling. You know,
how healthy are you compared to the things that you were dealing with and the nicks and the bruises and the injuries that you were handling last year?
Man, credit to the strength staff, man, and, you know, just the whole program, Kalani, how he's been taking care of us through fall camp, summer, you know, winter and everything like that. Because especially compared to last year by starting season, my body, I've never felt better. You know what I'm saying? I'm up in my weight. I'm stronger than I've ever been, faster, you know. And so with that being said, man, I feel great. I'm excited. I'm sure it's the same for many guys. You look at the injury report on our team, you know, it's night and day difference than last year. So It's been awesome.
Oh, I know. I report on the injuries before every game, and it was literally a laundry list. So great to hear that. But just for clarity, what were you dealing with that didn't allow you to perform at the level that you wanted to last year?
Absolutely. So I had a torn meniscus. I played, you know, the last half of the season with a torn meniscus. Actually, I had a torn meniscus in both my knees that whole last half of the season. So, you know, I was dealing with that, man. You know, I had discs at a place kind of in my back and stuff like that. And, you know, it was a whole bunch of stuff. So, yeah, with that being said, but, hey, this offseason, it's like it never even happened. It's been awesome.
Safe to say that when you're healthy, you can play better.
100%. 100%.
Logic 101 on BYU Sports Nation with Isaiah Banya. As you turn your attention now to Southern Methodist and go into Dallas, this is an early season litmus test. They're a team that's expected to compete for an ACC title as a dark horse. What do you know about SMU and their offense at this point?
Well, you know, especially over the last few days, we've been able to watch a lot of film. You know, we watched the Nevada game, their UConn game, all that stuff, and it's been really good. We've gotten a lot of tips and, you know, got to see their tendencies and everything like that. However, though, there's a lot of preparation that will come into it. You know, they play both quarterbacks. They'll even have a third quarterback in sometimes, too, and they're very mobile, but they're also very good in discipline, especially number two. When he likes to run out of the pocket, he's very, you know, he can get the ball to his receivers, you know what I'm saying? He's very elusive. So with that being said, it's going to take a lot of discipline and a lot of eye control, especially on the edges for us defensive ends. So that's one thing. It's got to be disciplined and very urgent in our preparation.
You're speaking of a great athlete. His name is Preston Stone. And you had that with DJ Williams. There wasn't really a scout on him to, I guess, have a shadow on him last game against Southern Illinois because he didn't show a lot of that. But now that you did go through that and he got loose a little bit, how has that changed your game plan for a similar style quarterback with SMU?
Absolutely. Like you said, they have just a very similar, you know, skill set in their quarterback. So, you know, after this week, obviously that was the major negative that we had as a defense. So, you know, this whole week of preparation, that's one thing that we really got to emphasize, keeping quarterback contained and really affecting him on more levels than just the pass game, you know what I'm saying, the run game and all of the above. So, yeah.
You create one turnover as a defense. You did get to the quarterback for a couple of sacks, and you did have some key tackles for loss, of course. We noted that you were a part of that. How do you create more disruption as a defense moving forward and try and build off what you did against Southern Illinois?
Absolutely. You know, like I said, there's a lot of preparation that comes on the defensive end aspect of it, as containing him, not letting him get out the pocket, not letting him rush up in the B gaps and such. However, though, it also comes into play when we throw different looks at him, different coverages, different schemes, different blitzes. You know, we'll have corners, running backs, safeties, doing all types of stuff, you know what I'm saying? So with that being said, the main pointer that we want to come in with is affecting quarterbacks, make sure, you know, we disrupt them the whole game.
How has your practice approach been different this week because it is a short week due to the Friday night game?
Absolutely. Shoot, if you're just listening to A-Rod after practice, you know, like he said, very disciplined in every minute that we have. You know, they have just as much time to prepare as we do, right? And so, obviously, we want to win the pregame. You know what I'm saying? We want to win that everything. So, be very intentional. Even when we leave practice and go home, we're watching film. You know, we're meeting as a defensive unit, we're meeting as position groups, all that, all the above. So the main purpose is just to be very detailed in our preparation and intentional with our preparation as well.
Kalani said it in his press conference that he knows that BYU is an underdog. The players know it. I know you want to try and block it out, but it gets out. BYU is the underdog in this game. How do you approach that role as you go to Dallas?
Right. Honestly, you know, we come in, we've had a chip on our shoulder since last season. So regardless if we're underdogs or not, we're going to come every single game, you know, with a chip on our shoulder and that intent of, you know, we got to come out and play our absolute hardest. You know what I'm saying? This is our every game from here on out is like our Super Bowl. You see what I'm saying? So with that being said, man, regardless of what everybody's saying, regardless of what, you know, the stats and everything like that, we just want to come out and be us, and be our true identity.
I know that you, as a player and as coaches, you focus on the next game. Well, the next game feels like a big opportunity. Like, it is the biggest game, and it is a big game with SMU. So what would a victory on the road in Dallas against a really good team do for this BYU squad?
It'd be huge. You know, every week, like I said, we want to go 1-0, right? And we want to just get wins. You know what I'm saying? That's like our identity. That's what this whole program, we got 100 years of BYU football, and we got to live up to that. And with that being said, how do you do that? That's winning games.
What's the biggest difference that you've noticed after one game this season compared to where BYU was after beating Sam Houston last year? So just take me back 365 days and compare and contrast.
Dude, the unity, first of all, like, this team has never been closer. Honestly, I've never been on a team closer than this one on all scales, offense, the defense-wise, staff, the player-wise. You know, we care about each other. We want to go out there and play for more than just ourselves. And at the end of the day, that's what football is all about. It's bigger than just you. It's bigger than the individual. It's a collective game, as you know what I'm saying? So that being said, that in itself is a huge difference. Second of all, as well, is our preparation. Like I explained earlier, my body and a lot of guys, everybody on the team, honestly, we've all improved on all phases of our game, physically, mentally, even, you know, just spiritually as well, you know? So with that being said, that's a huge difference as well. And so, like I said too, we've gotten some time to play with each other. That connection within each other, that chemistry is huge. So those are the main differences.
Speaking of the defensive line, Tyler Batty, you, Blake Mangelson, John Nelson, Logan Lutui, others, what the heck did the strength staff do for you? Because we've heard about it for months now. We're starting to see it come to fruition in an actual game. Speaking of Southern Illinois, what did you do? What did they do to help everyone so much?
Yeah, it was honestly being intentional with not only just our training, and obviously you want to train hard, which we did. Don't get that wrong. We trained very hard in the offseason, everything like that. But we trained very smart. You know, when we had Doc Main, you know, Phyllis, Coach Tanner, all these guys, man, they know their stuff. And they're very, honestly, very intelligent and professional when it comes to our preparation as well and their plan that they had us going through. So, yeah, man, that's really just what it came down to, man, is being very intelligent and intentional with our prep.
All right, well, that won't go away as you prepare for Southern Methodist. You're going to go to the Dallas Metroplex. There's a huge alumni base of BYU fans there. There was a fan fest in Dallas this summer, for crying out loud. Yep. What's your message to fans that do have an opportunity to show up on Friday night and root for BYU to try and get them to the game?
Man, a message to the fans down there. Coming out, it means the world to us. And that support, as you guys know, it's crucial. You know, it's like giving us the home field advantage in someone else's spot. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, it means the world to not only just me and us, but the whole program. So if you come out, man, that's love. That shows love. And we going out there to play for y'all.
Come see bigger, stronger, faster guys.
Come on.
Do their thing against SMU. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma to perform well. Isaiah, congrats on a great first game. Look forward to more in the second game against SMU.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Hard not to love his positivity, his optimism, and certainly the way he played while he's feeling healthy against Southern Illinois. And he added the following. Yep. Right as soon as the camera turned up, he said, also, this specific BYU team this year, this is by far, hands down, it's not close, the best football team I have been a part of. Culture, attitude, the chemistry, everything. He just was like, let me be clear. I played on a championship football team at Boise State when we won the Mountain West. This team and the way that it's structured and everything here, he's like, it's the best. So I thought that was interesting.
That's great. And sorry, he played with two torn meniscus?
Yeah.
Like one in both?
Half the season. He played the last half of the season with a torn meniscus.
How?
In both knees.
How did he play? That's amazing.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Get ready for kickoff to watch Isaiah Banya and the boys. Friday night. 5 Eastern Time, BYSN Game Day and Cougar Pregame Live begin on BYU TV and BYU Radio, respectively. Get you ready for BYU and SMU.
Still on the way, we'll hear from offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick on how the offense is preparing for SMU and quarterback Gary Bohannon. Most popular guy on campus is the backup. Mm-hmm. How's he handling that role? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation if you so choose on social, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. We recommend it.
Okay. Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem.
Was that Korean missionary, Spencer?
Okay. Let's celebrate 100 seasons of BYU football, specifically taking a look back on some of the best wins, moments, and plays in Cougar football history. What happened on this date, Jerem?
BYU opened the 04 season beating Notre Dame, Brady Quinn and the boys. Wow, Ty got on the board, touchdown early in the first quarter. Boom goes the dynamite. Fighting Irish held to just 3 points the entire first half. Matt Payne field goals, 13-3, Cougars up.
In the second half, Berry came in for the injured John Beck and connected with freshman Austin Colley. 42 yards to the house. BYU up 20-3. After two Notre Dame touchdowns, lead down to three, the Cougars needed a conversion on 3rd and 8 to kneel out the game. They got it. Todd Watkins.
Hold it up, Petey.
Tested 37-yard catch to seal that 20-17 BYU win. Fun fact about that game. I was sitting on the front row in the north end zone, and somebody came by and took our picture. We were wearing like these wool royal blue sweatshirts that matched me and my roommates. And we ended up in my first BYU book, a baby book, as BYU fans. Oh, yeah.
I was
my claim to fame.
That's awesome. I was knocking doors in Brazil. I don't remember that.
Well, you didn't miss much other than that that Notre Dame win.
I missed two losing seasons.
Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
I was good in that moment, but you didn't miss much else.
No, I know.
Here are today's headlines.
BYU football 2 days away from game number 2 against SMU after yesterday's practice. Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick talked about what it's going to take to face the SMU defense.
Very good defense. Very athletic. They know what they're doing. They're really good at their system. Excellent team. I mean, it's a big step up from what we've been dealing with, what we had to deal with last week. And we got a big challenge on our hands.
Whose hands in the way right there? What's the
I have
their hand
no
out
idea.
That was something. SMU 11th in FBS last year in total defense. Pretty good defense.
BYU backup quarterback Gary Bohannon spoke to the media after practice yesterday. He was asked about how he's handling not being named the starter, and we got this response.
Life's full of adversity. I mean, I've had a lot of adversity in my life when it comes to what this football life. And I think football and things that you go through and the adversity that you go through is going to build you up in the future.
How do you not love Gary Bohannon?
Football. I love that. He's a cool dude.
He seems
like a cool dude.
Stud.
Yeah.
And has a great attitude. And guess what? In college football, you're probably going to need at least two quarterbacks at some point.
Yep.
I think he's going to get his opportunity for BYU.
Women's soccer dropped out of the United Soccer Coaches Poll after two losses last week. Jennifer Rockwood and the squad. Get ready for Boise State tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
Former BYU running back Chris Brooks has signed with the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Another former Cougar in the NFL and on a practice squad. He played 9 games for the Miami Dolphins last season as a rookie. Ended the season, 19 carries for 106 yards. He joins former Cougar Zane Anderson on the Packers.
The New York Roadrunners, meet, announced the field for this year's Fifth Avenue Mile, 1 mile race down Fifth Avenue in downtown Manhattan in New York City. Three former BYU runners will be competing in the race on Sunday, September 8th, this weekend, including Olympians Courtney Wayman, Wendy Morgan, as well as Anna Camp Bennett.
Roadrunner and Coyote, still the greatest cartoon ever.
You think so?
One of them, for
sure. We'll debate later.
Daniel Schneeman got the start in center field for the first place Cleveland Guardians in a 7-1 win over the Kansas City Royals last night. He's batting .236 on the season, playing really well the last few weeks.
And congrats to tight end Reiner Swanson, who received his mission call yesterday to serve in the Kenya, Nairobi, Africa mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He will leave next year. That's awesome.
Up next, the voice of the Mustangs, Rich Phillips, joins us to discuss what he feels most confident in when it comes to SMU football and his biggest question mark about the Mustangs. This is BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Let's welcome in the voice of the SMU Mustangs now to preview Friday night showdown in Dallas. He is Rich Phillips. Rich, welcome back to BYUSN. How are you today?
Yeah, it's been a couple years. Glad to be back with you guys. Glad to see the Cougars again this week.
We're trying to figure out what SMU is this year, because at first it looked like they struggled against Nevada, but then Nevada goes and wins at Troy, and so it's like, oh man, is Nevada way better than we thought they were? And that's a solid road win for SMU. And then the Mustangs destroy Houston Christian at home. So through two games, what is the identity of SMU football, Rich?
That's a good question, Spencer. I think one thing we do know is that Nevada's better than we expected. They got 54 new players that Jeff Choate brought into that program this year. So it's a totally different team than the one that won only 2 last year. It's still definitely a work in progress, I think, right now for SMU. They were very discouraged with the way they played the first half of that Nevada game. not very discouraged with the second half as they made the big comeback. But still a lot of questions to answer, and it all starts ramping up now. The next 10 games are all Power 4 conference teams SMU will face.
Nice run at home, some big games obviously in Dallas there. Let's talk about the quarterback situation. Preston Stone was awesome last year, 28 touchdowns, 6 picks en route to the AAC championship and an 11-3 year. In comes Kevin Jennings, who's 6'1", 189, and I said, he can dance, man. This guy is averaging 9.7 yards per carry, no sacks allowed. Preston Stone can run for 7.7 yards per carry. What role do you expect the two quarterback thing to have? And the run game specifically with Jennings.
Well, you know, first off, we did see Kevin Jennings start the last two games of last year, the conference championship and the bowl game, because Preston Stone broke a bone in his leg in the regular season finale. And Rhett Lashley has maintained all along this year that he thinks they have two starting quarterbacks. Sometimes that's a bad thing when you say you've got two quarterbacks, but he really believes they have two quarterbacks they can win with. So I think the plan that we will see this week is going to be closer to the Nevada game, where Kevin played series 3 and 4, but the rest of the game was Preston Stone. This past week against Houston Christian, I think he alternated a lot more than he normally would have just because of the way the game went. But I don't discount the fact that he wants to see Kevin Jennings get in the game some, and they definitely have a bit more of the RPO game that they will run with Kevin because of his ability to run the ball. And frankly, with the way that he can run, those run pass options is sometimes astonishing when he last second throws the football and could make for a very dangerous weapon from him.
Whenever two quarterbacks and that switch out system come into play, naturally, a lot of people will say, well, it just affects the fluidity of the offense and the chemistry, and you can't get into a rhythm. Why do you feel like SMU is an exception to that argument?
Part of it has to do with the way Rhett Lashley's working his guys in practice, because they're both taking first team reps every day in practice. It's not just Preston with the ones and Kevin with the twos. They run first team and second team both. And so they've got a lot of chemistry that way, not to mention the fact that at wide receiver, they rotate so much. At running back, they've got three guys they're going to rotate in. And so when you're working with the ones or you're working with the twos, well, they're the guys you're going to play with if you're in the game. So they develop a lot of chemistry just because they've got so many different pieces they're using offensively.
RJ Maryland might be the best tight end in the country. He is awesome. He was so good at Nevada. Some huge plays, 162 yards. Didn't need him last week. Russell Maryland's son, we've always paid attention to Russell because he was on that 1990 Miami team that came to Provo and BYU won that game. Tell us about RJ and what makes him such a dynamic play threat.
Well, when he came here as a tight end, he was built more like a wide receiver at only 217 pounds. He's added about 20 to 23 pounds maybe since he got here in two seasons. So that's made him a bigger threat physically, but he still has that same speed. And so, like you saw in the Nevada game, he had the huge second half with 8 catches, including the game-winning touchdown. He also had a big 49-yard catch in that second half. They were singling him up with a safety. He's able to run right by that guy. And if they try to defend him with a linebacker, he can definitely run by him. And then if it's, you know, a corner that's trying to cover him or a small safety, he can run through them because of the size he now has. So he's got that thing going where he's added bulk, added weight, but not lost the speed that he had when he got here the first time.
Rich Phillips is the voice of the SMU Mustangs. The Cougars and the Mustangs will play in Dallas on Friday night. Okay, there are two parts to this next question, Rich. What do you feel like you absolutely know about this SMU team and you're most confident in? And then in turn, what's the biggest question mark remaining about the Mustangs?
The thing I think I know is that they've got depth on their defensive line. They've yet to produce quite the sack numbers in the first 2 weeks that they had last year. They had 47 sacks last season, which ranked third in the country. But they have changed out some parts there with even better parts, I think, than they had last year. And they're going to run 8, 10, even 12 guys in there on the defensive line. I really feel good about their defensive line. Wide receiver, I think, is still a question mark here. You know, last year this team was very odd. They threw for almost 4,000 yards, and they didn't have a 600-yard receiver at all.
Wow.
They didn't have anybody with 50 catches last year.
Wow!
And then all those guys came back. Nobody transferred out saying, oh, I want to be the star. Their production's a little bit down, I think, at wide receiver. In the opener at Nevada, they only had 8 catches combined from their wide receivers because RJ Maryland caught 8 balls himself. There's still questions at wide receiver who's going to be the guy Jordan Hudson's a guy that we keep thinking is going to emerge as the guy. He caught a touchdown on the opening drive this past week against HCU, but really did nothing since then. So we need to get some questions answered for sure at wide receiver.
Friday night football in Texas equals high school football. Yeah, this is a Friday night. What kind of crowd do you expect for the first Power 4 on Power 4 matchup in the history of SMU football at home?
Well, that is definitely a fair question because high school football is its own animal here in Texas, and it's always a concern for any coach when they play on Friday nights. But it's on national TV, so nobody argues with it anymore. I do know the BYU game had been selling really well in advance, and I think with the 2-0 start, and as you mentioned, the first time SMU is a Power 4 team playing a Power 4 team should draw in a little bit more. But high school football is hard to go up against here in Texas sometimes.
Yesterday we were talking about the experts in the desert and where they set this line. Right now SMU a 10.5 point favorite. Rich, do you see it as that, or do you expect this game to be a little bit closer than what those friends in Las Vegas are saying?
I always hesitate to try to figure out what anybody's going to win by because I do agree with coaches. Let's just win. The question isn't how, it's how many, but as far as number of wins, not how you win them. I always think it's hard to guess. I will say, I wonder if the ACC isn't giving SMU a little more cred these days than their previous league. That might have a little bit to do with it, but I think winning is the most important thing to worry about right now for these guys.
What is the vibe in the ACC right now? Because obviously with Florida State losing twice, we're seeing SMU show up in the top four or five in percentage chance to win the league. What are the goals and expectations and hopes for SMU in year one in the ACC?
All along, it's been certainly to be competitive in the league, to be a bowl team in the league. I know a lot of people have pegged maybe 8 wins to be a good year, which I would agree with, especially when you look at what schools like BYU, Houston, Cincinnati, UCF did last year, their move up to the Big 12. They all struggled. UCF, the only one making a bowl out of that group last year. So you don't want to set your sights too high, but you are coming off a conference championship. You return a ton of key parts. There are definitely a lot of questions, though, about the league that I have, because not only has Florida State lost their first two, I thought they looked pretty poor in their game Sunday against Boston College. And I don't know, that Boston College team looks a lot different than the one I saw last year in the Fenway Bowl that beat SMU. So I can't figure it out. And, you know, Virginia Tech going and losing to Vanderbilt certainly was not a good thing in the league either. So there are a lot of questions in the league right now.
For sure. The ACC Wheel of Destiny, as Reese Davis used to call it, is very much in play. We feel the same about the Big 12. There are legitimately 8 teams that could win the Big 12 conference this year. Okay, we'll finish with this. We have oft looked back on fondly the 1980 Holiday Bowl because it was BYU's first bowl win, and it required the most dramatic, most unbelievable, improbable comeback, and it happened against SMU. So as the voice of the Mustangs, we naturally have to ask, how do SMU fans view that game, or have you just wiped it clean from the memory?
It's bitter. It's still a very bitter loss. You're up 45-25 with 4 minutes to play. People were leaving the stadium already because it was over, and you lose on a Hail Mary at the end as they rally back. It's still a bitter loss. And you look at, too, SMU's 0-4 all time against BYU. 2 years ago was a little bit bitter for some. Rhett Lashley went for 2 at the end in the New Mexico Bowl because he decided that we weren't going to overtime. Somebody was going to win the game right there. Unfortunately, I think it was Jacob Robinson made the tackle on Tanner Mordecai on that 2-point try to end it there. But definitely the 1981, at least with the old timers, and I'm not quite an old timer, but that was kind of the start of my football consciousness there in 1980. It's still a bitter pill to swallow in that one.
You're always lucky Rashee Rice didn't play in the New Mexico Bowl. I'll just say that. That guy's absolutely. Yeah, that guy's awesome.
It required a little bit of luck for sure, because he absolutely is a special player. Rich, we appreciate the time and the insights into the SMU football program, and we look forward to seeing you on Friday night, I should say, in Dallas.
And let's schedule you for 2027 on this program already, okay, when we come
to Provo. Let's put it down. I'll put that on my calendar. Let's go.
You got it. Thanks so much, Rich.
Thank you.
Rich Phillips, great voice, great broadcaster.
Yeah, I love it. He's got the mic at home. He's ready to go. BYU women's soccer hosts Boise State tonight. Big game for the women's soccer team. Dropped out of the top 25, trying to defend home turf, coming off a Mountain West Conference loss to Utah State. Another Mountain West Conference team coming in. 9 Eastern tonight on ESPN+.
It's midweek football season. You know what that means? We're going to play Know the Foe. How much do we know about the random facts of awesomeness as they pertain to SMU? This is BYU Sports Nation.
I love this segment.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Happy Wednesday. Midweek, we need a pick-me-up. Specifically, we need to play Know the Foe and figure out how much we know about SMU. For those who need a refresher, our producer Colton Potter has prepared questions to help us get to know the Mustangs and their history a little bit better.
Why do we have a lightning bolt through here?
I have no
idea.
Just
for fun? Divider!
He'll ask us the question, and if whoever is supposed to answer gets it wrong, the other will have the opportunity to get it right. So let's play Know the Foe. Colton, what do you have for us?
First question. SMU's mascot is a black Shetland pony named Peruna. Each mascot has been given the name Peruna since 1932. Which Peruna is currently representing SMU? This is for Jerem. Is it Peruna 8, 9, 10, or 11?
First off, I just want to say bye-bye, little Sebastian. Let's go with 10.
That is incorrect.
Woo! What are you going to say?
I'm going with option B, Peruna number 9.
That is correct.
Let's go!
Peruna 9.
Peruna 9.
Yes, going to clear. I have no idea how to answer it. Test logic.
That's
B
why
or
I
C.
love this segment.
B or C.
I don't have any clue what the answer is 98% of the time.
Next question.
SMU was founded in 1911 because of a feud between the United Methodist Church and what other university? Duke, Wake Forest, Vanderbilt, or TCU?
This has to go with the rivalry with TCU, right? D is my answer.
That is incorrect.
Oh! I'm going to go, I don't know.
The Demon Deacons? Those Demon Deacons?
Demon Deacons. let's go Vandy.
Vanderbilt is correct.
Yay!
There you go.
Peruna 9.
Peruna 9 and Vanderbilt.
Hey, Vanderbilt beat Va Tech over the weekend. That was awesome.
SEC.
Hey, we can appreciate a new church after trying to figure out the truth, right?
100%.
Right?
100%. Yeah. All right, Colton, what's number 3?
All right, Jerem, this is for you. SMU is located in Dallas, Texas.
Yes,
which children's cartoon was also created in Dallas? Scooby-Doo, Looney Tunes, Barney, or G.I. Joe?
Oh, wow. Okay. Scoob! Let's try A.
That's incorrect.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I'm going to go with C, Barney.
Barney is correct.
Yes!
Are all the answers just C?
Give me the purple dinosaur.
Come on.
I love you.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Right, last question.
Impersonation.
Last question, Spencer. This is for you.
Yeah.
Which mainstay actor from the TV show The Office is an SMU graduate?
Oh.
Is it Brian Bumgartner, who played Kevin, Jenna Fisher, who played Pam, Creed Bratton, who played Creed, or Oscar Nunez, who played Oscar?
This is well played. We both love The Office. I like
Wow.
Why didn't you start with C, dude? Every answer's been C.
I know. I'm going to go with A, Brian Baumgartner with Kevin. Don't spill the chili, Kevin.
That is correct.
Oh, nice.
Let's get him on the pregame show.
Hey, guest picker Friday, let's go.
Know the Foe, never disappoints.
Oh, it's great.
Peruna 9.
Peruna 9.
Our question of the day has nothing to do with
Peruna,
Know the
I'm
Foe.
I'm never going to forget that.
How will the result of Friday's game against SMU change your expectations for the course of BYU's season in 2024?
We're getting a little dramatic here on a Wednesday.
Our Elite Voice of the Day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from Drew Loves Q on Instagram, who says, I think BYU could be an 8-win team where I was thinking 6 or 7 before.
Okay, let's go.
Whew. Momentum, it matters. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Cool moment last night. Jake Retzlaff was on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. He talked about how BYU embraces faith, diversity on and off the field.
Coming to a faith-based university, you really don't know what to expect, but it's been nothing but support. And the funny thing is I've found that members of the church have a funny fascination with Judaism.
And why
lineage.
We're so... Yes. Ephraim for the win.
Oh, good stuff. Great show today. Our thanks to today's guest, Isaiah Banya, and the voice of the Mustangs, Rich Phillips.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time. Peruna 9 is who we have time for.
Kevin from the office.
Kevin from the office. Let's go.
Outstanding. For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. A shout out to Ronnie Jenkins, who was pretty good against SMU Ronnie. In a couple of games. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs.
Ain't no shy, Ronnie.